have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 3. I'll be preaching from a few verses in chapter 3 and in chapter 4 both tonight. And so as you find your place, would you stand with me, please, in reverence to the Word of God. As we begin here in verse number 7, the Scripture says, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Then down to verse number 14, the Bible said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Over to verse number 30 of chapter 3, John said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And then in chapter 4 and verse 4, "And he must needs go through Samaria." And then to verse 24 of chapter 4, the Bible says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." You may be seated as we pray. Father, thank you so much now for the opportunity that we have to be in your house tonight. Thank you for these precious folk that have gathered for this service. And Lord, I pray that you might speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that you might touch us in a very special way. Lord, we realize tonight that unless you meet with us and move on us and stir us and change us, that, Lord, our efforts will be in vain tonight. But, oh, Holy Spirit of God, would you move in a very special way this evening? I pray that you might go out across this auditorium tonight. Lord, you know every heart. You know every life. You know those that are right with you. You know those that are lost. You know those that may be here that's trying to serve you with all of their heart. And I pray that you'd speak to every one of us tonight. I pray you'd stir us and challenge us and encourage us and help us to realize, Father, that we each have a responsibility to do for you that which you would be pleased and honored with. Oh, dear Lamb of God, bless this church, bless this congregation, bless this pastor as they labor here for your glory and for your honor. And I pray that many lives might be touched through the ministry of Grace Baptist Church, and how we ask you that through the outreach of this church, that, Lord, many lives will be stirred and changed and moved on for your glory and for your honor. Father, I need your help tonight. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your direction. Now I pray that, Lord, you might speak to my heart tonight as we stand before this congregation to bring the message that we felt in our heart you would have us to tonight. Lord, please do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Please, dear Father, tonight, give liberty and freedom to preach. Give unction and power from on high. And Father, we'll be so careful tonight to thank you, to praise you, to honor you for all that you do. For we ask it in that name that is above every name, the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. As we look at these two chapters of Scripture tonight, I want to call your attention to one little word that is mentioned in all of these verses that we've read from tonight. Fact is, it is used 6 times in the Scripture that I read from this evening, and it's the little 4-letter word, must. Must. And as we think about that word means it's urgent. It's necessary. It's needful. And oh, listen, there are some things that are mentioned here that point to us to the fact of the urgency of our getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. It shows us the urgency of allowing you to change, the Lord, to change our hearts and to move in our lives in these days that we're living in. And you know, there's many things that you and I feel are important. or feel that are urgent for us to do and to accomplish in our lives. No doubt there's probably been some things you've even thought about today that you said, I need to do that. I need to take care of that. I've got to get that done. I've thought about those people in the Twin Towers so many times since 9/11. And it becomes more real, or has become more real to me, especially as we've been preaching for Brother Paul Lent the last few years in his mission conference. And every year we've gone to the field where that plane went down that was on its way to the White House or to the Congress there, and to that museum that's there. And when you hear those calls that were made by those people back home to their families, you realize the urgency of that hour. You realize that they knew their time was running out. It would be sure, and short. And they knew that they would never make it home. And my dear friend, you and I don't know if we'll make it home tonight. You and I have no guarantee, no promise of the night or of tomorrow. We're not sure that we'll all be back tomorrow night in this service. I hope we will be, but we don't know for sure. And I'm sure if those people on those planes had known what was going to transpire that day, they would have been some priority changes in their lives. But here in these two chapters, we find five things that are absolutely urgent for us to do in our lives. These five things help us to understand why we need God to change our hearts and to touch our hearts and to prepare our hearts for what He has in store for us. And you see that urgency in this little word, must. Six times in these verses we've read tonight, we see that little word, must. As you begin looking at the order in which John was moved on by the Holy Spirit to pen these verses, you will see the order that the Word of God has for us as to how we can apply the urgency of the hour to our lives as well. You see, John began in verse 7 of chapter 3 and said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." My dear friend, the most important thing that you and I ever have to do is to know for certain that we've been to Calvary, that we've been washed in His blood, we've been saved by the grace of God. And until that is settled in our life, nothing else will matter to our hearts. Nothing else will matter for eternity until we know that we've been saved by the grace of God. I ask you tonight, have you been saved? Do you know that Jesus lives in your heart? I am amazed at how many people can come to church week after week, service after service, and they can sit there, and it doesn't matter what the preacher preaches on, they're never moved. They're never bothered. They never make any change. They never shed a tear. They never act concerned about their soul and where they'll spend eternity. But my dear friend, that's the most important decision that any of us ever have to make. Because once this life is over, it's too late. The answer's been settled. Your destination is sealed forever and ever. And you're either saved or you're lost. It's either heaven or it's hell. There's no other choices for you to make or to me to make. And so, this is important. And it's important for those in our world tonight that do not know the good news that Jesus saves. That's why we need to ask God to change our hearts, to give us a greater burden, to give us a greater vision, because there's multitudes of people tonight that are dying lost without God. And you and I have the message. You and I have the remedy. You and I know what they need tonight. But are we bothered about reaching them with the gospel? It's urgent. It's needful. It's necessary that this world trust Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I trust tonight, if you're here in this service, you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior. I hope tonight will be the night. I hope you realize the importance of being saved. I hope you realize that every day that passes, you're playing Russian roulette with your soul. And if you die without Christ, there is no other opportunity. It's now or it's never. Have you been saved? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? I hope you have. I hope you've settled this first important, urgent matter in your life. But then, once you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you see in verse number 14 that the Bible said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Just as John talked about the must of salvation, he now is talking to those that are saved, and he talks to them about the must of submission, the must of following the Lord and knowing Christ and living for Christ. And the story that he gave to us here is referenced back in the book of Numbers, chapter number 21. And you remember that story, if you're familiar with this, in the writing by Moses in the book of Numbers, how when the children of Israel, they were going through the wilderness, and they were trying to find what God's will was, and they were beginning to be angry and be bothered and upset with the leader. He didn't think there was any water, and he didn't think they had enough to eat, and they was tired of eating manna. I don't know how anybody could get tired of eating something that they didn't have to buy, they didn't have to cook, they didn't have to do anything but go out in the yard once a day and get it up. I mean, that was easy enough. That saved the women, and it saved you as the men to take care of it. And so they got tired of it. "We want something else. We want some deer meat, or we want a wild turkey every once in a while. We got to have something besides white bread and water." And so they got to complaining so that the Bible says that God sent fiery serpents among the people. And they begin to bite the people. And the people began to get sick and die because they were in a rebellious state against God's man, but more against God than they was against God's man. And so when the fiery serpents started going through the congregation and people started getting bit and people started dying, what did they do? They ran to Moses for help. The same one they'd been griping to and complaining to and wanted him to do something about this. Now they want him to do something about the fiery serpents. And so Moses went to the Lord. And the Lord said, "You build one of them fiery snakes and you put it on a pole and you put that serpent up in the middle of the camp." Now, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but when you spread 2 million people out across the desert, that's a pretty wide territory. And that snake had to be big enough on that pole that the closest man to the pole and the farthest away man from the pole could see the serpent. And so Moses built that snake, put it on that big pole, held it up, or set it up in there. I don't believe he held that thing. I believe he set it up. They may have been holding around it to keep it from falling, but they put that snake up in the air. And here was what they had to do. You have to run down there and kiss the bottom of the pole in order to be healed. No, that's not what Moses said to do. He didn't say you got to bring Moses a $100 offering and he will pray for you, that God will heal you. No, didn't do that either. The only thing they had to do was look. That was simple enough, wasn't it? All you got to do is look. Don't have to put forth any effort. Don't have to journey all the way in from outside. All you got to do is just look toward that serpent. And he said, if you'll look, you'll be healed. But you know, some were just typical Baptist. They wouldn't look. They refused to do the simple task they was asked to do. And as a result, they died. They died. And oh, how foolish, how selfish it would be for them, for their families, to have the opportunity to be healed, to have the opportunity to be right with God and to be forgiven by God, and for God to heal them of that disease and to take all of the fiery serpents away. But no, we know more than God does. We can do it our way and it won't matter. Why do we have to look up there? Listen, it's Moses that got us in this mess to start with. And what do we know if it's going to take care of it or not? It's the must of submission. And so many times we're not willing to be submitted to what God asks us to do. Sometimes we think we know more than God does. Sometimes we think we've got a better idea than God has. Sometimes we sure think we know more than God's ever thought about knowing. But you see, it's a matter of submission. You see, when our hearts get changed, we'll be willing to be submitted. We will be willing to trust Him for salvation. And so, a simple thing, look and be healed, or go your own way and die. Oh, may we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. May we let Him touch our hearts tonight. And just as they had the must of salvation and the must of surrender, if you go over to verse number 30 of John, chapter number 3, verse number 30, what does he say here in this verse of Scripture? John 3 and verse number 30. John said in this verse, "He must increase, but I must decrease." That's the must of surrender. That word is used twice in this verse. John says, Jesus must increase. He must increase. Not talking about John, but Jesus. Jesus must get bigger. Jesus needs to take control more of my life. It's urgent and necessary and needful that Jesus get bigger in our life, that He might have more control of our lives. How much control of you does He have tonight? How much of your life have you given to Him? And at the same time that he's asking Jesus to get bigger, he said, "But I must decrease. I've got to get smaller. I've got to lose control of my life and yield more of my life to Him. It is urgent and necessary for me to get smaller, to get out of the way, and to let the Holy Spirit of God have His way in my heart and in my life." How does He do that? By changing our heart. By controlling our hearts. By yielding our heart to Him. How big is Jesus in your life tonight? How much of you does Jesus really have tonight? Are you saved? Are you submitted to His will tonight? Have you surrendered everything you are, everything you've got? Lord, I want to come and I want to bring it all down here and lay it on the altar. And I do not want to take it back to my pew, but I want to leave it there. It's in your hands. I'm going to be under your control. Show me what to do and I'll do it. Amen. That's a big price to pay for some of us. We're used to controlling things. We're used to running things. We're used to making the decisions. But I found out a long time ago, it's a whole lot better for Jesus to make the decisions in my life and in my home than it is for me to make them. Because I'll make a mess out of them. But Jesus has the right answer. And He knows the right way that I need to go. He knows more about me than I know about me. I mean, after all, He took that handful of clay and molded me and shaped me in my mother's womb. And it's been His sweet Holy Spirit for the last almost 53, 54 years now that He's controlled my life. And I've never found out a mistake that He ever made. Sometimes I got in His way. Sometimes it wasn't Him that messed up, it was me. And I've kept Him from being everything that He wanted me to be in my life. But oh, when we realize the urgency of our salvation and we realize the urgency of our need to be submitted totally and completely to His will, that He might have control and that I might be able to surrender my life totally and completely to Him. You let God change your heart tonight? Could we be like those men that we talked about last night that followed King Saul?
Yes.
They changed and went with Him. Oh, may we say, yes, Lord, we'll go with You. We'll go with You all the way. Would you trust Him tonight? But then you look in chapter 4. You find here in verse number 4, Jesus said He must needs go through Samaria. Jesus said it was urgent. It was necessary. It was needful for Him to go through Samaria. Now, you know who the Samaritans were. They were half-breeds. They were half-Gentile, half-Jew. The Jews didn't like them and they didn't like the Jews. Fact is, the Samaritans wouldn't have spit on the Jew if they was on fire. They had lost nothing with the Jews. And they were grateful when they were no longer Jews around where they were. But Jesus said, it's urgent. It is needful. It is necessary that I go through. That word through is interesting. I've got to go through Samaria. I've got to go after the Samaritans. I've got to go because of the Samaritans. I've got to go because for the sake of the Samaritans. Because without the gospel, they will die and go to hell without God. Doesn't matter what color their skin. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter what part of the world they're from. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And whosoever will may come and hear the good news that Jesus saves. For the sake of the Samaritans, I've got to go there. It is urgent. Is there anybody that might be urgent that you need to go to tonight? Anybody that may be on the brink of eternity? Anybody that might be on the brink of dying, the brink of dying lost, having not heard the gospel, having not been given another opportunity to be saved? Oh, has God changed our hearts for them? Has God made us aware of those people that are on the brink of eternity? Jesus said, hey, they're important. I've got to go. It's necessary that I go to Samaria and share with them the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, it was the must of service. Is there anyone we wouldn't share the gospel with? Is there anyone that really we're really not bothered whether they get saved or not? Fact is, they might be some people that we just assume they not be in heaven with us when we get there. How sad, how hard-hearted that is. These disciples, they came back. Jesus had been talking with that woman at the well, and here he had to get there to tell these people about Jesus, and they come back, and here he is, first of all, talking to a woman. Of all things, for a man to be talking to a woman. They couldn't get over that. And a Gentile woman at that. Talk about prejudice. Talk about a lack of love and a lack of concern. But Jesus said, I must needs go through. I had to go. It was urgent for me to go and share the gospel. And you know the story, that dear lady got saved. And she went running back to town. And who did she go to? She went to all them men she knew. She'd been married 5 times, and the one she's living with now wasn't her husband. Besides, probably no matter who else that she might have had acquaintance with through the time period. But you know who it was that she went to tell? She went and told all them men about Jesus. She went and told them what he had done for her and how he had saved her and changed her. And they brought multitudes of people back to the well, and many more got saved because of her testimony and because of the preaching of Jesus. Why? Because she found out it was urgent. It was urgent. But then you look at verse 24. The Bible says here that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said it was urgent. It's needful. It's necessary that we experience spirit-filled worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, needful, necessary, urgent, that we worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you see, Jesus' day wasn't much different than our day. They were groups of people that worshiped in Jesus' day. And just like we have today, they had fanatics. But Jesus makes it clear, just like we have fanatics, that they have a lot of spirit. And if you don't believe it, you go to some of their services, and you'll find out how much spirit they think they've got. They can hoop and holler and run the aisles, walk the pews, and do all of that. And there's nothing wrong with worshiping in the spirit. But some people, that's all they've got is spirit. But they don't have any truth. They're very babyish in Christ. And I hope you'll excuse me for saying that. But everybody that shouts, it's not necessarily being filled with the Spirit. And this was what Jesus is pointing out to us here. You have to have both. It's good to have Spirit. But if all you have is Spirit, you're a fanatic. And if all you have is Spirit, you become a fatalist. Because you don't have truth. You have truth, but you have no spirit. Some people have got a lot of truth. And if you don't believe it, you ask them. And they will tell you how much truth that they have. They're eat up with truth. But they're dead as last year's corn shucks. They don't have any spirit. They don't have any spiritual discernment. They have no understanding of the Word of God. But they have truth. But they have nothing to decipher that truth with. But I thank God for the third group that was there. And that's the followers. The followers have a balance of spirit and in truth. And if you and I are ever going to accomplish anything for God, we have to have a balance. We have to follow the Spirit of God. We have to know the truth. And we have to know the sender of that truth. The leader of that truth. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not just go running around on our feelings and go around on what we think is right. But we have to have a balance of spirit and truth. And Jesus said, if we're going to have spirit-filled worship, it's urgent that we have spirit and truth. We must have both in order to accomplish God's will in our life. Do you have both tonight? Or do we just like to operate on our feelings? Well, I found out that feelings can be very deceptive. Because I found out sometimes I don't feel saved. You may not feel the way I do sometimes. But sometimes the devil can bring us to a place where we're so bomb-fuzzled about what's gone. And some things you look at and you say, well, if that's spirit, what's this over here? And that's why we have to have a balance of spirit and truth. And be a follower. Not of man, but of the Holy Spirit of God. It's urgent. In our day that we're living in, it is absolutely necessary that we have a group of saved, born again children of God that are able to discern the Spirit of God and to know what to do and when to do and how to do and if not to do. And the only way we can do that is if we have a balance of spirit and in truth. And I guarantee you, when you have a balance, you'll know what to do. You'll know what missionaries to take on. You'll know how much giving extra God wants you to give. You'll know what you're to do, how to do, when to do, where to do, and all that's involved in it. Why? Because you're not looking to you. You're looking to Him, and He will direct your paths. And this meeting this week, if we will allow God to change our hearts, He will help us to see the must that God wants us to have. We'll know when to surrender. We'll know when to be in submission. We'll know when to serve. And we'll know when to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But more important than any of that, we'll know that we're saved by the grace of God. Would you let God change your heart tonight? Would you let God draw you close to Him this evening? Would you let Him show you exactly what He wants you to do in these days? Would you let Him speak to your heart tonight? As we stand for a word of prayer, as the preachers come in, Father, Lord, would you please help us tonight? Lord, we need you so much. Lord, I realize we're so dumb about so many things. But, oh God, we need your help. We need your guidance. We need your direction. Father, help us to realize how urgent an hour that we're living in. And may we do that which you'd be pleased and honored with. Speak to the hearts of this people, I pray tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name.